Welcome to Behind the Scenes with Dr. Adam Goldstein and Dr. Christy Page. We're here today with Dr. Lindsay DiStefano, from Assistant Professor of Kinesiology at the University of Connecticut, Dr. Jana Register Mihalik, a postdoctoral fellow in the Traumatic Brain Injury Research Center at the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill, and Cindy Parlow Cone, an 8-year member of the U.S. Women's National Team Olympic and World Cup winner. And thank you all for being with us in Behind the Scenes.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And I guess – go ahead, Christy.
Well, I was just thinking one of the things we wanted to follow up on at the end of that conversation, we were talking about the struggle of and decisions in supporting children in staying out of play when they need to, being a safe environment to be able to admit that they're hurting, that sort of thing. But there's also a lot of pressure that Adam and I have on the physician's end of parents pressuring us to say, sign off, they can go back to work, to go back to play, or concerned that they're not going to get their scholarship because they're out for this period of time. And I wonder from your perspective, Cindy, of how you see that those factors weigh in as you're advising your athletes.
Well, I tell the parents at the beginning of every season, I will never sacrifice your child's health for any game. No game is more important than your child's health. So that is first and foremost in my mind. And I think it's hard for kids because they don't have the perspective on the future. They don't understand that if they miss this one game, it's not the biggest deal in the world. It's going to be okay. 4 or 5 weeks down the road, they won't even remember that they had to miss a game, if you even remind them. It's just they don't have perspective on the future, and they want it right here, right now, and that's their only perspective of what's right in front of them.
Well, Lindsay and John, let me ask you a question as researchers. You know, I have this impression, I don't know if it's correct or not, that male athletes and female athletes, there are major differences. One of them is the culture surrounding the team. So Cindy just talked about that it's okay from a coach's perspective. But I'm wondering in the culture, what do we know about the research into injuries in males and females? Is there something about the team culture? You know, I would think in the male sports of football and basketball, it's a lot more about the individual. And it seems like in the females, it's a lot more about the team. So it seemed to me it's easier for a female athlete to perhaps miss it. Is that false from anything you know?
I think what we've seen, some of my dissertation focused on reporting rates in males and females in high school and adolescent athletes, and we saw that both underreported or didn't report among the same percentages, but oftentimes for different reasons in terms of females really don't want to let their teammates down. That's a big, you know, a very team-oriented, you know, whereas males, a lot of times it was all about continuing to play, but the reason that females wanted to continue to play was not letting their teammates down. And that came in females before letting their coaches down. Whereas in males, you know, disappointing their coaches was something that was sort of above letting their teammates down.
So we might be able to more successfully actually change the female's willingness to go back in by framing this as a team message. Being for the team really means being there but not necessarily playing, versus that might be a harder message for the male.
And we've used that as from an educational standpoint, too. You know, we often go in with teams and say, be an ally for your teammate. If you think your teammate has a concussion or has an injury, talk with them about it. Help them get the care they need, just so that you're sort of you're using teammates as allies as opposed to people that are against each other. And that seems to have been somewhat effective in both male and female sports.
One of the things I think it'd be helpful to know as a parent and a physician is thinking long term, looking at the research of what we know long term after these injuries happen. What do we know about women and their risk for their bone strength, their risk for other injuries, their risk for their thinking abilities later on after multiple brain traumas? Can one of you summarize sort of those long-term effects?
Yeah, long-term after, you know, serious sports-related injuries like concussion and ACL injuries and other injuries is poor. I think Jana can speak to the long-term impacts of concussion, obviously, on a whole multitude of life things. But from a lower body standpoint, we're seeing really high rates of osteoarthritis early. So for instance, if a 14, 15-year-old tears their ACL, there is like over a 90% chance that they're going to develop osteoarthritis by the time they're 40 years old, which,
wow,
you know, that's a huge public health problem and something we should really be concerned about for the future of our kids, you know, staying active throughout their life.
You know, I think then – I guess this is just a concern I have. I look at you, Cindy, and, you know, one of the really top female soccer players the U.S. Produced in the last 20 years. And I say the U.S. produced in meaning that you excelled in a sport that generations of women look to you as a role model. And I see the Women's World Soccer out a few weeks ago and seeing again these next generation. It seems like this is tough. And I'm wondering, you know, I think part of having your willingness to come here and talk really changes how we can see these amazing athletes such as yourself. But I also wonder how we deal with it in the real time of still what these women will see, which is these athletes that are at the very, very top. What do we do with that? How do we handle that?
I mean, I think it's a great thing that women have female role models now to look up to. When I was growing up, you couldn't see female athletes on the television unless they were gymnasts or figure skaters. Now, the kids growing up, any sport that they're interested in, just about, they can find it on television. And they can have role models in their sport.
And they'll play it in college because of Title IX.
Right. And they can emulate their role models. I tried to emulate Michael Jordan. I was never going to dunk a basketball, even though I'm 5'11". It was never going to happen. But now these girls, they have not only people that they can emulate, but they have people that look like them and do the same things, and maybe they can go down the same path that they went down, which was absent when I came through. And that's the reason why I got into coaching, is because I felt like girls needed more female role models beyond just their parents. And I wanted an avenue where I could spend a lot of time with the kids. And my choices was teaching and coaching, and I chose coaching because I felt like I could have a bigger impact there.
Well, and it's also important to have those role models for people headed into being professional athletes like yourself. But the performance in school, the problem that we have with adolescent childhood obesity, I mean, there's so many different aspects of being a part of a team and being an athlete that is something we want to promote. Mm-hmm. So I think it's important for us to say, in the context of all of our talking about injuries, that we want our children to be participating. It's just trying to find the ways to keep it safe and understanding how to do that.
Right. And I think from the coach's perspective, it's also important to teach the whole child. My job is not just to teach soccer. My job is to teach the child about life through soccer. And part of that is how to take care of your body, how to take care of injuries, how to prevent yourself from getting injuries as well.
Well, I think that's a wonderful note on probably to put a bookmark in our conversation. This is an area that I think we could have you back on in 2 years and say, what's changed in the field? What do we know? What have we learned? Where do we need to go? What, obviously, more research that we maybe need to put into the universities to look at this issue. So I'd encourage any donor out there. There's plenty of good research that needs to be done here. We've been talking with Lindsay DeStefano, Jonna Redstrom-Mihalik, and Cindy Parlow-Cohn. Thank you so much for joining us behind the scenes with Your Health.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.